B-Pod Studios.
Mike Missanelli, 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missanelli show, and this should be a fervent Monday broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. We're on NBC Sports Philadelphia. We're also, of course, on 97.5 The Fanatic. All right, let's start with the major topic of the day. I'll get to Tiger in a second. You know I will. Shouldn't be the major topic today. I still think the Sixers will win the series. So I'll say that from the jump. I think that this team, this Nets team, is not strong enough to beat this team in a 7-game series. So it may take 7 games, but I think the Sixers are going to prevail. I may not think that after tonight's game if they lose, because last year, you know, when they lost the first two to Boston, you could see that it wasn't going to happen. And if they lose tonight, you're obviously going to see that it's not going to happen. But I got to tell you, I've got a lot of problems with a lot of people right now as far as this Sixer thing goes. Let's start with the players who turtled up in this game. Game one, where I can't fathom why. I just don't understand why talented players who have shown the ability to play in this league, compete at a high level, can turtle up in an NBA playoff game. And I'm talking about Ben Simmons, and I'm talking about Tobias Harris. And I'm especially talking about Ben Simmons, who I do not understand from Jump Street now. I thought I did. Now I don't. I don't understand where a guy who's that accomplished with his game can show as little pride as he shows and makes himself invisible in a playoff game when he knows he's one of the top two players on the floor. I don't understand it. I don't know what's going on with his head, but it's making me nervous and it's making me angry to have a guy who's a star player who has virtually reduced himself to irrelevancy in a playoff game. Yeah, I know he's not going to shoot the ball, but he flat out in that game one wanted nothing to do with the game. You saw the same thing I did. The same defense that is put up against him in the playoffs, good teams, wall him off, and he quits. And he goes into places on the court where he can't hurt the other team. I don't understand it. I don't understand what's happening to Tobias Harris's confidence. He does not look like the same player that showed up and all of a sudden lost his nerve. I don't know how that happens when you play with a good team. Let me go even further. Right now, this is the worst coaching staff in the league. It's Brett Brown and 4 Stoonads, none of whom know how to adjust offensively or defensively to what an inferior team is doing to them. I don't get it. They have literally no offensive or defensive strategy. The Nets are running basic pick switch stuff at the perimeter and get an open shot every single time. There is absolutely no help defense. Now, how in the world do you watch that, coach a game, and are unable to stop simple, basic pick and roll plays, pick and pop plays? I don't understand it. They have no way to combat an inferior team. Offensively, The other team is taking away what they do best, which is the dribble handoff at the elbow. They have taken away J.J. Redick completely. Boston tried to do the same thing. If you're taking away one guy on a dribble handoff, don't you have another guy that you can swing a ball to? I don't get how you can take everybody away from a dribble drive handoff. You can't possibly do it. You don't have enough players on the floor to take everybody away. And the Nets are taking everybody away on simple dribble handoffs. And they have no way to combat it. Instead of maybe thinking, okay, well, Ben Simmons is useless on the perimeter right now. We got to post him. If it's the only way he can score in this game is to post him, then we got to post him. If the only way that we can get Joel Embiid engaged and get people into foul trouble against an inferior front line that the Nets had, they don't have anybody as powerful who can stop. Jared Dudley is playing the big men down low. Foul his ass out of the game within 10 minutes. Harris. The other guy, the guy from North Carolina. Ed Davis. I mean, this is mind-boggling to me how they don't adjust to what an inferior team is doing to them. I'm literally stunned. They defensively, they have no posture at all. They don't scramble. They don't help. I'm looking at the NBA playoffs, which intensified defensively. You owe it. Teams that are good in the playoffs always have guys covered, always have fronts covered. They don't get open shots to Caris LeVert and D'Angelo Russell at will. Those guys get open shots every trip down the floor with simple pick plays, getting caught in late switches with the Sixers. There's no help defense. There's no help in the helper. What are these guys talking about in the huddles? What is Brett Brown? What's Jim O'Brien doing on the bench? What is Monty Williams doing on the bench? He doesn't say three words. And all of a sudden, he's the front runner for an L.A. job. Who's this Scott Young guy? I watch other teams when they call timeouts. The assistants surround the head coach. They're looking at strategy. They're formulating strategy. What are the Sixers doing? I can't believe that performance. Now, did I think they were going to sweep them? No. Did I think the Nets were going to win a game? Yeah. I didn't think the Sixers were going to play like lost puppies. Game one, they have no answers for an inferior team. We all saw the same thing. Now, I'm a guy who says the players decide what happens in the playoffs. But my God, you got to have some kind of defensive or offensive adjustment to what the other team is doing to you. They're stopping you defensively and they're scoring at will offensively. And you're just going to sit there and do what to stop it? I'm not an NBA coach, okay? But I can tell you, if I can't get any defensive pressure on the perimeter, then I got to change things up. I got to use a scrub like Jonathan Simmons to say, hey, Jonathan, this is what I need you to do. I need you to disrupt what the hell they're doing out there. I need you to help a guy that gets picked. They're going to pick JJ. I need you on the floor. I need you to get physical with guys. What's the reason why you got these guys? Use them in certain roles. If your starting five can't defend, get a bench guy to defend. They only got one guy. Jonathan Simmons is the only guy, I guess, can do it. And they're playing Boban Marjanovic 100 minutes. That's not going to win games. All right. We're going to talk about this, obviously, but I could bring up this Tiger Woods thing. Here's the thing. I know people want a piece of me for reasons that are unclear. I was wrong on Tiger Woods. He won a major. I never thought it would happen. Now, when I give you an opinion, and I'm trying to separate this, because you know, you already know about me, that I didn't like Tiger very much. I don't like Tiger very much, because for most of his career, he's been a miserable creep. But I also give you an opinion based on what I think is very logical. Number one, I didn't think he was physically or mentally capable of putting together four rounds in a major. He was older, he had back fusion surgery, and the rest of the golf world had caught up to him. I was wrong. What he did this weekend was masterful. I was there. It was a magnificent performance by a guy who outlasted everybody, who had more clutch shots than anybody, who got his way around with experience and guile and a talent that had come back to him. And so, wonderful. For the people that love Tiger Woods, it's about Tiger Woods. It's not about me predicting that he would never win a major. I will say, though, first of all, did I get emotional at the end when he was walking through there hugging his kids and all that stuff? No, I didn't get emotional. But I think I did help him, Tyrone, because I had texted you on Thursday.
You did.
And on Thursday, Tiger crossed my path. I was hanging out at the 18th green when he finished his round on Thursday. He came down the path, which was for some reason uncrowded, and it was about me and like 10 other people as he was headed to Butler Cabin. And our eyes locked, Tyrone, and I gave one of these. I gave him the head nod acknowledgement. Dude, I don't like you very much, but you're the greatest player in the world. Head nod. And he head nodded me back. He gave me one of those. And maybe in that magical moment, the demons were cast away. And it was like an exorcism. And that freed him up to do what he did. I think I'm going to take credit for Tiger Woods' victory on this particular day.
Are you?
Yes.
Oh, it feels good.
In honor, I'm wearing my Masters vest. Tyrone and Natalie are dressed in Tiger red and black.
That's right. My guy Tiger.
Your guy Tiger. I thought it was wonderful that all those young players who Tiger had inspired to play golf all came out, gave him a hug, gave his family a hug, all the Masters champions, a sign of respect for a guy who, frankly, has been a miserab. So good for him. Will he win another major? Well, I guess he could now. I didn't think it was ever going to happen. I was wrong. And people just want to hammer me about it. Hey, man, it's my opinion, and it was based on logic. It turned out to be wrong. He won the Masters. Tyrone, I gave you a chance to bet on Tiger last week.
Yeah.
You didn't even believe in him.
No, I didn't think this was going to be the one. I thought he was going to win the Open Championship over there in Europe.
Yeah, he's going to win the Open.
I think he is.
No.
I think he's
winning that. The Masters was the one tournament he could win. I said that last week. The Masters suits him. But I got to say that my countryman.
Your countryman.
After he hit that shot in the water on 12.
Double whammy for you, Mike.
I think he said this. Dio mio. Stai soffocando, figlio di puttana. For those of you who know Italian, you know what I said. 610-632-0975.
Can you say that?
Yes, certainly.
Okay.
Nesso nell'acqua. I put it in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. The Tiger intimidation factor is back. Tiger Woods.
Oh, he's a choker. 610-632-0975. Mike Missanelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. All right, 220. Mike Missanelli Show. This show belongs to the callers and listeners today. Saw the same thing I did. I pretty much laid out what I saw. I don't know what you saw. Are they actually in trouble losing this series? I don't think they are. All right? So of all the bitching and complaining I did about game one, I still think they're going to win the series. I did not expect that. They were dominated. The Nets basically led from wire to wire. Never lost control of the game. The Nets. This is not a team that's as good as the Sixers. And the Sixers had no answers. That's what worries me most of all. The coaching staff had no answers on how to stop the same stinking play every time down. Defensively and offensively, the Nets were a one-trick pony. It wasn't no sophisticated game plan. They got a pick up top, and they got an open shot every single time down the floor. No help at all. On defense, he took away the dribble handoff. Well, I guess it's all we got, the dribble handoff. I guess we can't score another way. I guess we can't get Ben down low. I guess we can't get Joel down low. I guess we can't get Tobias a shot when they take away the dribble handoff to JJ. Guess we can't do that. Four guys. Four assistant coaches and a head coach. Let's go to Annie Tay, I don't know what that is. Annie Tay in Lansdale? What's up, man?
Yes.
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, wanted to bring up a point about focus.
Uh-huh.
With Amir Johnson pulling out his text and be looking at that, I mean, what the heck are they doing? It's the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm beyond the text thing. The text thing is ridiculous enough. It doesn't need to be commented on. Amir Johnson should be removed from the roster.
I agree. And that falls on Brett Brown, too.
Yeah, well, it indicates a lack of discipline. You know, Amir Johnson hasn't played a lot, and maybe he feels, what do I care anymore? But he let me removed from the bench.
I totally agree.
Yeah, guess what? There were 100 different things in that game other than that I have to worry about.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it just shows there's just a lack of focus with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And Brett Brown, I don't know. If he doesn't get this thing turned around, I don't think we'll see him next season.
You don't think?
Yeah.
Before the final buzzer, if the Nets win game four before the final buzzer, he should be fired.
You're right.
All right, man.
Well, thanks.
You got it. Yeah, Josh Harris is sitting right there. He's seen the same thing. If I'm Josh Harris, I go, what the frick was that? Now, I don't know what this owner thinks. I can't make heads or tails about what this dude's about.
They asked him before the game.
He shrugged, right?
Yeah, basically he's saying everybody's being evaluated, as you're trying to say. But he kind of made it clear that the expectations are what the expectations are.
Listen, I'm firing Brett Brown. They don't win Series 2, much less Series 1. I've seen a coaching staff just sitting there like with their fingers in their nostrils. They're unable to devise any strategy. I'm watching the game. I'm going, they're doing the same thing every time down the floor. What are you doing to stop it? There's got to be a defensive strategy. There's got to be an offensive strategy. You can't go through the whole game doing the same thing and thinking it's going to succeed. Al and Broomall, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Al. Yo, Al. All right, Al, not there. Let's go T-Love and Collingdale. T-Love, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Crewman Missinelli. As one of the most iconic characters in TV would say, fascinating. Fascinating. Your logic is so flawed, you choose not to admit it.
How was my logic flawed? Was there anybody else who won a tournament, a major tournament with back fusion at his age? How was my logic flawed?
Your logic was flawed because if you've been watching, the guy has been coming along.
Uh-huh.
His game has been steadily improving. The last 2 years, he has placed.
Tell you what, what do you want me to do? I was wrong.
Good for him.
Good for him. I was wrong. He won a major, and I influenced it. I gave him a little head nod on Thursday. So there you go. What else do you want from me?
Well, I'd pay off.
You want me to maybe take his kids to Disneyland?
We had a way. Yeah, I would start.
I'll take his kids to Charlie and Sam to Disneyland. How's that?
I don't take his kids. Take mine.
Yeah, I'm not taking yours.
Listen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We had a wager some time ago whether he would win a major.
Yeah, I don't recall that at all.
I'm sure you don't.
Yeah.
I actually don't recall.
You know how many people think they had a wager with me on this?
Well,
it's in the hundreds.
Well, I'm going to tell you, we talked about this.
You know there are bigger fish to fry today, T-Love. The Sixers lost game one.
What do you want me to say about the Sixers that I haven't
seen? Listen, Tiger Woods won. I think it was a fantastic event. I don't recall making a bet with you, and I'm not paying you anything. All right? So that's the end of that tune. Let's go to Spanky in Cobbs Creek. Spanky, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Spanky.
Right, you my man. I would never hold you to the carpet about Tiger Woods.
I made a statement. At least I say stuff. Right?
Yeah.
And I didn't say stuff because I disliked the guy. I said stuff because it was logical to say that.
My head boy looked like he was on. He was out of golfing. Mm-hmm. Listen, you know what's making me mad about this team? A couple weeks ago, I said to you, the problem that I have with them is that you just don't know what they're going to do offensively-wise. It's no scheme. It's just like, I get it that we got five individual talents that's good. But they're like, they don't hold their hat on nothing. And that's what bothered me the most going into these playoffs. And listen, I'm getting sick of Ben Simmons. I'm really getting sick of him. This dude is 6'10", can run like a gazelle. And when he gets to the basket, Mike, do you notice he's starting to look like Covington around or trying to make layups? This boy don't go up strong. I just don't understand.
The way he played that game Saturday is a flat out embarrassment for a man of his talent level.
Mike, I don't understand. You got to want to be great. And I don't think he wants to be great. And that's what
I think he already thinks he's great. And he doesn't have to work any harder at it. That's what Mike, I think about Ben Simmons.
You know what he got, Mike? He got the Pro Bowl glide, like they got in football. That's what he got. And I think the worst thing that could ever happen to him was making the All-Star team, because now he thinks he's a Rob. I'm sick of this dude.
He thinks he's a lot better than he is right now, and he doesn't realize that he has become an embarrassment for his lack of offensive skills. When they can take a talent like that completely out of the game, whose fault is that?
Mike, they
it's his fault.
Yeah, they clown him. Like, you know, the other NBA players, they clown him by showing little respect, by even coming up on him like that. It's ridiculous. And you know what, too, is making me mad? Embiid is a beast. All day, they should have fouled out the whole team, Mike. The whole team should have been fouled out with him down low. I don't understand Brett Brown, man. They don't win this game tonight. I'm done. I turned it off in the first quarter because I knew they wasn't going to win.
Well, listen, here's the thing about the start of the game. If the guy was not ready to play, you don't let him make a decision 7 minutes before the game, because it messes up your whole thing. Because if a guy is then going to play, what is he going to do? He's going to favor the knee. And by favoring the knee, that means he's not going to get on the block a lot. And I know what the strategy is to keep the lane open, but they're not getting any lane presence either because Simmons doesn't get to the basket anyway. So if Joel Embiid is not willing on 85% of the possessions in this game to get low, what's the sense of having him on the floor? Now, I know he scored some. I get it. But you got to attack where they're weak. Their front court is weak. Their front court can get fouled out like that. And they allow the Nets to dictate the pace of the game. I'm stunned by it. I am literally stunned that an inferior team could dictate the pace both offensively and defensively against a better talented team with the coaching staff sitting on their rear end, on their thumbs, not being able to influence the game. It's mind-boggling to me. Will in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Will.
Hey, first of all, I want to talk about the game, but first I got a beef with Tyrone, man. Tyrone, I got a beef to pick with you, man.
Okay.
Last week you spoke to a caller, I believe it was on a Friday or 2 weeks ago, and he was trying to explain to you how much has Ben Simmons improved, and you gave hollow stats of his turnovers went down and his free throws went up from 56 or 58 to 60.
56 to 60. I gave facts. I'm sorry that they bothered
you. But he hasn't improved. What has he improved, though?
He stunk in game one.
Yeah.
What do you want me to say?
I heard that saying, a leopard doesn't change. I don't think he's going to change his spots, man.
You might be right. You might be right, bro.
He's going to be the player of what he is. Mm-hmm. And remember when we was waiting for Samuel Dellibert? Not to compare the two, but remember we was waiting for his talent
to show? That's a violation.
Yeah, no, this guy's got a better pedigree, and with a pedigree, his game has to grow. But I had the same concerns that you do. Well, you can't disappear out of in a playoff game. You just can't do it if you have talent. Now, I don't know how he feels about his game, but if it were me, I'd have a little pride. Yeah, like and it doesn't seem like he has that.
Like that last caller said, he's already an all-star, And I think he
in
got
his mind, he's already an all-star
right.
who doesn't feel the need to actually shoot a basketball. So what are you going to do offensively? If you're not going to get to the basket, which you flat out quit, because every team does the same thing. You see what they do? They come over in threes now. And he, boom. And then he goes somewhere. He goes somewhere in the court. He disengages completely. What are you giving the Sixers? So if I see that and I'm a coach, I go, my man's disengaging. So here we go. I guess we got to turn him into a three or a four who posts. That's the only points I'm going to get out of him. That's what I got to do. I wish he was more developed, too. I wish he had a better framework where he's going to take the shot. The reality is the reality. He gets spooked when certain defenses put a fence up. I got to adjust to that as a coach. Brett Brown, Jim O'Brien, Monty Williams, Scott Young, whoever the hell he is. The four aces on that bench, sitting there like playing Parcheesi. Kenny in North Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kenny.
Hey, what's going on,
what's Mike? Up, Kenny?
Hey, you finally feel the way I feel, and I've been feeling this way for 3 years. You sound frustrated, man.
Frustrated? You watch that game and not get sick to your stomach. I'm going, this is the Nets. They're dictating the game. For every possession, defensively and offensively, they're dictating the game against a better team.
Hey, because you know why, right? Because everybody, all the coaches know it's easy to scout Brett Brown because all he's going to do is a dribble hands up. He has nothing developed out of the low post to the exterior. Until this team learn how to play from inside out, this team's not going to win. It's as simple as that.
Where are the assistants that can call when they call a timeout? Monty Williams was the head coach of this league. He's gonna be the coach of late. Yeah, Brett, home. Hey, we got to get Ben Lowe. These guys sit around with a clipboard. They don't say crap to the head coach. Not one of them talks. What are they there for?
Right. I'm just going to sound crazy, but I can't blame Ben Simmons for all his faults because you're only the product of somebody that's coaching you. And it all starts with Brent Brown. And Vince Brown had to develop this kid. And to me, he hasn't developed any player that's been here in the last 6 years. Not one. Maybe T.J. McConnell, not your man, though, but I mean, but nobody developed that.
Listen to me. Let me tell you this. There's only one player that this applies to, okay? And this is Ben Simmons. And if Ben Simmons isn't going to take it upon himself to shoot a freaking basketball, there's nothing that the coach can do. So if he's not going to shoot the basketball, then get him other ways to score. Post him up. He's a mismatch for any three that's trying to guard him and any four that's trying to guard him.
You're 100% right, Mike, but he has to be involved in the offense some way.
Well, you got to design plays for him to be involved in the offense because guess what? Ben on the perimeter does not work against teams who have scouted the Sixers because they all do the same thing. Forget about what Boston did. They formed a template. Everybody does the same thing now. Watch when he's got the ball in the middle of the floor. Defender who's on him, two guys come as a gate. He gives it off to a wing and he quits. That's the end of Ben Simmons for the possession. Now, that's not about Brett Brown. That's about Ben Simmons' will. But it's also about Brett Brown in that he's got to realize he has no will. I got to give him will. The only way to give him will, I got to give it up. I got to take the ball out of his hands in the perimeter, and I've got to post him now with offensive possessions. Chris in Lewisburg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Hey, Mike, I want to talk about Tiger, and now that he's back on top, who's going to challenge him best at the Open?
Well, he's not back on top yet. He won the Masters.
Yeah, but like...
he's not back on top. He won the Masters. He had a great tournament. He's not back on top. It's not that you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Scott.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Scott?
I don't even know where to begin here. Mm-hmm. You know, they every time I looked up, Boban or Embiid were covering LeVert or D'Angelo Russell. Why do they create so many mismatches and we can't create one? I don't get it.
They create switches up top and get their guards in an open shot every single possession, which means there's no help defense. They don't help the helper. So throw a scrub like Jonathan Simmons out there to do that. Learn a little something. You need a helper.
You're so right. And then offensively, Mike, it's like these guys just started playing together. There is no spacing whatsoever. You could play a zone against this team. You really could play zone against this team because their spacing is horrible, Mike. Horrible on the court. Okay. And then another thing I noticed that, you know, all the fans, all the sportscasters, including you and Anthony and myself included, okay, something happened on the way to Toronto. Okay, we had to play the Nets. Mm-hmm. Everybody had us play in Toronto, Mike, the second round, but we forgot that we have to play this pesky little team.
Yeah, they're not going to lose to this team.
Mike.
Don't worry about it.
Mike, did you see the record the second half?
Don't worry about it. They're not going to lose to this team.
Well, yeah, but that's what everybody's saying. But
they're not. I'm telling you flat out, they're not going to lose to this team. Don't worry about it.
The Sixers think they can just show up and beat this team. It's not happening, Mike.
I don't think that they think that. I think that they have, like, the first, I can't explain their performance, their lack of will, their lack of wanting something. I can't explain that. But they're going to win tonight, and you're going to have a different perspective on it.
Mike, I really hope you're right, but
there is no alternative now but to make adjustments to what the Nets are doing. They went through a game of seeing the Nets have success playing one way. And if you can't now take that away, I don't know what to say. With all the supposed great basketball minds that saw that game, that will review the film, if they can't change their perspective offensively and defensively after that game, then I give the frick up. I give up. I find it impossible to believe that this coaching staff is that inept that they're going to go through another game with the Nets dictating how to play both offensively and defensively. I just refuse to believe it.
No, I agree. Now, I have one question for you.
Yes.
Ben Simmons on the perimeter, I get it. One thing that I find odd that happened three or four times in this game, he got it to within 8 feet. He's in the paint. And then he passes out, and sometimes it's a turnover. I don't understand that part. 8 feet is not the perimeter. He gets it into the paint.
Listen.
And still passes the ball.
You're waiting for Tinkerbell to come down and use a wand, all right? It's not going to happen. And your coaching staff knows it's not going to happen. So at this point, you have to abandon the thought that it's going to happen and say, the only way that I can get him engaged offensively is I've got to post him. There's no other way I can get the guy to score. So you're going to have to do it. It's just as simple as that. He has only one way to score right now. He's not going to get to the basket because he quits. He's not going to shoot the jump shot because he just doesn't want to. There's only one way to get him. A smaller player guarding him down low. That's it. And if they don't do it, then they're stupid.
And that also puts Embiid on the perimeter even more because they can't.
Okay,
post.
So they're going to have to sacrifice Embiid's game to get this guy going. And then once he gets a little confidence, maybe they can get Embiid doing that now. But you got to coach your way through this, knowing the limitations of what your offensive players are about right now. Tobias Harris, I can't freaking explain. But if somebody's going to double and take a dribble handoff away from J.J. Redick, Tobias Harris has to be somewhere in the area to get a 20-footer. And I'm not Dr. James Naismith, but I can tell you that. If they're flowing a defense to stop J.J. with two men, there are four others. I'm fired up today, man. I hate it. 6-1, I hate this. I hate going through this with this team. 610-632-0975. Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. All right, it's 2:47, Mike Mussinelli Show. And let me just say, I'm going to say this like every time we come back from a break. Tiger won the Masters. I was wrong. All right, so the people that I know want a piece of me. I don't know what else you want me to say. I was wrong. He won the Masters. I didn't think it would ever happen. At 2 o'clock hours, brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. It is time to start the Twitter poll, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Attention all landscapers looking to repower a zero-turn or a walk-behind mower. Moyer has the best deals around for an engine replacement in stock. Visit paulbmoyer.com for details. Natalie Eganoff.
Thanks, Mike. Over 1,200 votes on this one so far. Who had a worst game one? Or worst game one? 22% say Brett Brown. 52% say Ben Simmons. 17 going J.J. Redick. And 10% going Tobias Harris. So Ben Simmons had the worst game one.
All right. See, but the thing about J.J. Redick is they're making him guard. And so when they make him guard, he's going to foul. And so he gets in foul trouble, and he was less aggressive. And the whole thing was a mess. All right? And I'm just stunned by it. I watched the game a couple of times. I had DVR'd, and I just couldn't believe what I was seeing, that they couldn't adjust to anything. It was like, what is this, the Golden State Warriors? You can't adjust to this team? They're a bunch of young, hungry kids who make mistakes. You can't get them to make mistakes? All right. Let's go to Bob in Hanover. Bob, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, Bob?
Not much. I agree with everything you said. I'm as frustrated as you are. But I look at Ben Simmons, and I'm not saying he's the Greek freak, but he should be pretty damn close, because he has the same physical stature, and he has the same abilities physically. He can use both hands, and he just doesn't have the drive to get to the basket. And the only thing I can come up with is he's afraid of going to the foul line.
Listen, that's part of it. But Giannis will shoot medium-range jump shots. Giannis will shoot an occasional three. Giannis opens up the floor so he can get to the basket. You see what they're doing to him. Pay attention to how they're defending him. When he's got the ball in his hands, say, like from the top of the key to the foul line, they shift three players over to stop him. He quits because he doesn't think he can get through three players, which he probably can't, but that would be solved by shooting a 10-footer. He won't do it. So you've got to know as a coach that the limitations of your player offensively leaves you to do only one thing to let him score right now, which is to get him in a mismatch down low. It's the only thing you can do. If I could see that, how do four brilliant NBA coaches not see it?
Now, the other point I wanted to make is I'm really upset with Brett Brown, because when I watch his post-game interview, he's talking about this is the first time he's seen these three guards out there doing this. He's played them four times this year, and they've done the same thing all four games. And how do you not know this is what they're going to do coming into game one? It's ridiculous.
It's really simple how they free their guys up. They get the Sixers in a switch, a half-ass switch, by the way, and the helper's never there. So they get open shots every time down the floor. Caris LeVert got 18 shots. 18 yeah. shots. D'Angelo Russell got 25 shots. These are mostly open shots. They have to rely on the Nets missing open shots for them to get the ball back down the floor.
Well, the saddest part to this whole thing for me was I made the mistake of betting the straight money line. I thought this was the easiest $100 I was going to make.
Well, listen, I still think the Sixers are going to win the series. I do. And all this complaining and bitching and moaning I'm doing today may be moot when we do the show tomorrow, because they may have adjusted. But there's also a fine line here. And the fine line is when Boston knocked them down in game one, they were able to knock them down with the same plan in game two. And at that point, I said the series is over. And if that happens, if the Nets win tonight, I don't think there's any way for the Sixers to come back. Tonight is the game. Carl in Reading, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Carl.
Oh, Michele, Miss Anelli.
What's up, Carl?
Buon a tu parli italiano. I was very...
Francesco, Dio mio, ho soffocato.
So you were rooting for Molinari, or what?
I wasn't rooting for really anybody. There were so many guys stacked at the top. I thought it was just a pleasurable tournament to watch so many guys in there.
I didn't think
Molinari was going to make mistakes like that, but he made two mistakes. I mean, he put it in the water in the back nine of the Masters. I mean, that's a choke.
Yeah. He blew it.
Yep.
All right, well, I just wanted to say I appreciated your Italian, and if you ever need a colonoscopy, come up to Reading. I'll take care of you, all right?
All right, man, you got it. Molinari, he hit it what's called fat. You don't hit it crisp. You hit it a little behind. You chunk a little bit of the earth. And the ball doesn't carry, as opposed to hitting it thin where you're not hitting the earth, and you kind of skitter it.
Yeah, he was. He looked like he wanted to cry after that one landed in the water.
He didn't really
have much interest to being out there after that.
You got to hit long enough to get past that little drop, because that drop's going to take you to the creek. And my man hit it fat. It happened. It choke swing. When the amateurs hit it fat, it's because they're choking. Really, because they don't believe in the shot.
Right.
He didn't believe in that shot to the extent where he's got to hit a full wedge and he knows his distance. He hits the right wedge. It's going to go a certain distance. It goes a certain distance. It's going to sit on the green.
You know, I think Nance's call when Tiger on 18 was good, but I think I like Tirico on the radios
more. Yeah, I actually listened to Tirico because I was coming back from the airport.
Yeah.
And I listened to it on PGA radio.
Yeah, I thought...
And I tweeted out, I tweeted before Tiger won.
You did.
What more can I do to give of myself by saying, what did I tweet, Tyrone?
I don't remember word for word, but you were kind of gracious.
Kind of gracious. I was totally gracious. This was before he made the putt on 18, right?
Tiger did it.
I was wrong. Oh, well. Great torn for the dude.
Right. The oh, well is people took because I have to hear about it.
Well, the oh, well was I was wrong. I was acknowledging I was wrong. Oh, well means I was wrong.
There's nothing wrong with being wrong. If you make anybody that makes predictions is going to be wrong sometimes.
Yeah, I didn't think I was ever going to be wrong with this prediction. And there was logic behind that. It wasn't because I just disliked them.
But this guy is different. He's different, Mike. He's the greatest.
And I always said he was the greatest. I didn't think he was going to be able to play at that level for four rounds.
And you know what else I've discovered? I actually don't like Tiger, but I don't like any other golfer, so I root for Tiger. They're all jerks.
Every last one of them are jerks. I don't like any of them either.
That's why I root for Tiger.
And, I was following a couple of them. I was following, I followed Dustin Johnson for a while, and... I followed Tiger for a little bit, but the galleries that follow Tiger are ridiculous, so it's hard to see other guys.
Was Michael Phelps there all 4 days and just come for the weekend?
I didn't see Michael Phelps when I was there Thursday or Friday.
He must have came out for the weekend just to see Tiger at the end.
$3 beers, bro.
That's a bargain.
$3 beers, $3 chicken sandwiches, $3 barbecue sandwiches, $1.50 pimento cheese sandwiches.
That's great.
No, free parking.
And Masters seem like the best deal in town if you can get down there.
It's just stuffy as hell, but it goes against the grain of how reasonable it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Huh.
It's weird.
It is weird.
610-632-0975. Mike Missanelli Show. We roll into the 3 o'clock hour on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.